Luke 22, we'll commence again with verse 35. Just these four short verses today. Luke 22, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "Nothing." He said to them, "But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me." And he was numbered with the transgressors. "For what is written about me has its fulfillment." And they said, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough." Thus far, reading for God's most holy word. Let's pray. Now, we thank you, Lord, for granting us your word. We thank you that you grant your servants good instruction and wisdom with it. We thank you, Lord, that you are full of grace and that you lead us in your light. This hour, would you be our help? We depend on you completely for every grace, grace to understand your word, to listen to it rightly, and to do it. Be now exalted in our petition to be our help in this passage of Scripture. And may your name be glorified through it. In Christ we pray, amen. Please be seated. I don't know if you've ever been driving along a highway and you see on the exit ramp, you take the exit ramp and you see a sign. It kind of looks like this. It doesn't say anything, but it's a picture of a truck and it's kind of tipping. You know, you see some of the wheels are tipped and there's an embankment there and, ooh, it's off center. And it may say, you know, speed limit 25. Of course, you've been going 65 or 70 and now you're being asked to go 25 and, you know, you have full confidence in your car. It's got a wide wheelbase. You've got good new tires. You're a good driver. You're nice and alert. You may think to take that curve at 40, 45. And, well, you might make it. But then you've also seen some trouble, haven't you? I don't know if you've ever seen a truck that is tipped. It's really a mess. It's a mess because, of course, the driver often gets hurt being rolled around and tossed around in the cab. But often the truck is full of merchandise and other goods. And so the cleanup operation and the resulting traffic jam, it can be a real problem. Delays back in the highway, just the traffic holdup. Well, the truck should have heeded the sign. The sign said, "Caution, slow down." And the curve is banked and, if you've got a vehicle that is easily tipped that way, you're in danger. You'd be foolish not to take the heed, not to take the advice and warning of the sign. Well, this is the situation we have facing Christ and his disciples. These days in which Christ is teaching his disciples, they're not ordinary days. They're extraordinary days. The last week of Christ, that Passover week in Jerusalem, is filled with stories of his enemies plotting, of his teaching his disciples very intensely in preparation for his departure. We'll very soon come to the point of his agonizing prayer and the Last Supper. We've seen that. And the imminent danger of arrest and intrigue and betrayal, and that by a host of soldiers. Christ here teaches his disciples that there are normal times of ministry and that there are, well, special times where we must consider because the danger is great. Not every day is the same. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof, but some days are more evil than others. And so in teaching, Jesus now prepares his disciples for the imminent danger that they will face by his arrest, by his trials and all of that. Here's the take home of these four short verses. You must believe in God's good providence towards you and in your own responsibility for your safety, especially in times of danger and persecution. God has a good providence. He never leaves His good providence for you. And yet you must also understand that you in His image are able to receive instruction and be responsible. And you are to act wisely, cautiously, especially in times of danger. And that is your responsibility, that is your duty. We'll see this proposition upheld in 2 points. We first see that Christ's disciples took no precaution for ministry under ordinary times. There is a normal ministry, a regular ministry. These disciples enjoyed a time of ministry under the tutelage of Christ. They had great success. We'll read about that. But those were ordinary times. In those ordinary times, ordinary rules applied. We'll see what those rules are in a minute. And then the second point is that the Christ's disciples must take extra precaution during times of danger. And Jesus here is warning them. He is leading them. He's protecting His flock. He wants them to be safe. He doesn't want them to spend life needlessly. He wants them to be wise because He loves them. Let's examine then, back in verse 35, the teaching of our Lord. Jesus said, "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" This is when the Lord commissioned His disciples. He did it twice in Luke 9 and then in Luke 10. We see that the Lord sent out His disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God, and He gave them authority to heal. And He expressly told them, "Do not take anything for your provision. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money. Then don't have two tunics." And the second commissioning of the commissioning of the 12 is in chapter 9. The commissioning of the 70 or 72 is in Luke 10. He said to them, "Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bags, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." They're on a mission. There's danger because unregenerate men are as wolves. But that's the ordinary ministry. Ordinary ministry always has its dangers. For unregenerate men hate the Lord. Their mind is at war with God. And if a messenger of God shows up with a word from God, well, death to the messenger. They can't get God, but they'll get his messenger. And so you have to be careful. These are wolves, but that's the regular course of ministry. Nothing unusual going on. And because of that, they are trusting God's provision. It is glorious for these disciples to receive that truth, and they found out how glorious the Lord's providence is toward them in providing for everything they need, you see. He was teaching His disciples more than just dogma or doctrine. He was, by giving them no chance for money, no chance for provisions, by forbidding sandals or anything else, He is showing and teaching them very deeply that God's provision is all they need. This was the great lesson, of course, that Israel was to have learned in the wilderness. When they set out, they were completely dependent on God. All they had in front of them was sand and rock. They couldn't farm. They had some herds, but where would the water come from? They were in desert. And so their every provision, from their clothing, to their water, to the manna that rained down from heaven, which they ate, the bread from heaven, all of that was a lesson in complete dependency on God, who is glorified in the dependency of men. And the disciples must learn that lesson. Otherwise, the gospel would not go forward so quickly with such strength, nor with the clarity of witness that God is good for His creatures, especially those who love them. And of course, the Lord was great in celebrating their victory. In Luke 10, we see that they went out, but they came back and they were rejoicing. So we saw Satan fall as lightning from the heavens. And they were rejoicing in the goodness of God and shared the victory of the kingdom of God with Jesus. We see then that Christ will teach us to trust the Lord. He will teach us, especially as we go about our day-to-day task. We don't have to be sent by the Lord as special messengers of the church. But in the day-to-day, we will learn that God is our help, even He who makes who has made the heavens and the earth. He will rain goodness upon us. He will send us food. He will clothe us. He will protect us. He will keep us from all harm. No evil will befall us. says the Scriptures. And even when we fall into temptation and hardship, we have His presence and His friendship to cure us and comfort us. He sends forth the Holy Spirit and gives us secret graces where we can endure much hardship, whereas the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being more and more strengthened and more converted into the image of God. And so Christ's disciples need not take any precaution during regular times. Oh, you can make your plans. Yes, you may save money in the bank, but you need not take extra precaution. You need not concern yourself, even though there are wolves, and of course there are people who will resist the gospel mightily. But this was always done. They were to shake their sandals. They were to leave the town remind them of the mighty curse of God in dismissing the glad news of the kingdom. But those, again, were not extraordinary times. Those were just regular times of ministry. The disciples would see plenty of days like that in their future work to the uttermost parts of the world. They will have days like that in Asia Minor. Paul will see that in the churches there among the Gentiles. And Peter will see them among the Jews in Antioch. There are such days. But this is normal times. And the Lord wants to teach us dependence in this way. Why? Well, my friends, we were made for this sort of fellowship. We were never made to be autonomous. We were made with the function and the purpose of enjoying God. And when we see God participating and with our ministries and working for us mightily, answering our prayers, bringing folks into the kingdom, when we see our children being well taught and receiving the glad news, and rejoicing in the same truths as we do, and in hymns and spiritual songs, when we see that progress, then our souls rejoice. For God is our help, and He is altogether pleased to help us. And so that our joy may be complete, He sends us this help. We can thank God that He wants to lift our burdens from our shoulders. He doesn't want us to be concerned. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? How will we clothe ourselves? The pagans all run after these things. No, my friends, you are a child of the King. And He will bestow upon you special privileges, special honors, because He has favored you above all nations. He has loved you. He will take care of you. And you are His son. We see, though, however, that Christ's disciples must now take extra precaution during times of danger. The situation has changed. And so Jesus says to him, but now, in verse 36, but now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. So now things are different from their commissioning. For in this very last week of the Lord's life, intense forces are coming together. There is a collision of galaxies coming together, collision of kingdoms. And Jesus here is telling them one thing you can completely rely on is the trustworthiness of the Scriptures. Although these times are extraordinary, they are set by the Father. And all these things must be fulfilled, even as dangerous and even as evil and as unjust a situation as the trial and the crucifixion of Christ is all not only foreseen of God, but foreordained of God, and that for His own glory. We see the Lord Jesus teaching the trustworthiness of the Scriptures. All of these prophecies cannot be broken. The Scripture must be fulfilled in me, He says in verse 37. And that Scripture that is to be fulfilled is that He was numbered with the transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment. You will remember, of course, in coming up in this gospel, that Jesus was condemned and that He was crucified along with two other criminals. So He was numbered with transgressors. And that, my friends, is a very significant prophecy. But you see, the Lord Himself, though He was a righteous one, though He suffered no sin, no committed no harm, had no guile in Him, yet He was imputed our sin. And at that point, the Lord Father treated Him as if he were a vile criminal and a transgressor. Now, that is according to the gospel. We'll cover that in another preaching. But Jesus here, because the scripture was firm, he would be violently accosted. He would be charged and sentenced with criminals, with transgressors. And so Jesus, being the divine Son of God, knew the scriptures, that there was just no other way but they must be fulfilled. For God is altogether true, and his word cannot be broken. It is impossible for God to be unfaithful to his own word. And so there was no way out. There was only a way forward. He must go through this trial, this dangerous, dangerous period of betrayal, of arrest, of sentencing, of condemnation, and of hanging on the cross. Jesus knew the scriptures. He's going forward. But now he's going forward and he's preparing his disciples for what is about to occur imminently occur. There was danger. There will be great sorrow. The sorrow would lead to great trial for all of the disciples. They would be heartbroken. They would be confused why we had set our hopes on Jesus. He was the anticipated Messiah, the deliverer of Israel. We heard glad things about his kingdom and the glories that were to come. And now all our hopes are dashed, for there are reports that his body has been missing and all this. And he was crucified, and this was a great injustice, and they would be heavily, heavily bowed with the sorrow. My friends, do you see how Jesus, in dealing with his disciples, is very carefully preparing him? He loves his men. He loves these disciples of his. He's teaching them, and he would prepare for this great shock that was about to come to them. There would be some comfort that Jesus did tell them these words, that he knew about it. Well, maybe that's a ray of hope. If the Lord knew about it, maybe he knew the way through this difficulty. Of course, he would. He's the Lord of glory. He knows all these things. But this warning would even, I think, comfort them, that the Lord did care for them, that he had not abandoned them, that this somehow fit into the greater hope of the kingdom of God. And so he will prepare us through not only trial, but through the great dangers. He is already addressing us and promising us that no evil could possibly befall us, but that all things work together for our good. Those who love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose in Christ. He wants us to be confirmed in these things. And he warns us these things because, my friends, although these days are more or less normal days, no extraordinary evil, there yet may come a day of extraordinary evil. There may be days of catastrophe in our nation, even war. There may be times of dire, dire illness where you are battling mightily for the next breath. There are situations that you will face where you will need the comfort of the scriptures. You will need the confidence that Christ has told you that these things are so, but that he has a way through all of these difficulties. He cares for you, and he prepares us all the way for all circumstances. Now, Jesus has, my friends, a change of directions for his people, for his friends. He says, whereas before you enjoyed this ministry with great success, you didn't need money, but now money will come in handy. Then you didn't need any provision, knapsack and all that, a day pack. And now you are to take one. Clothing, extra clothing? No. You could sell your cloak because you'll need a sword. You can run naked with a sword and be safe. But if you are defenseless, you may be a target. You may be in trouble. What does the application here teach us? That in extraordinary times, God has not changed. He's still the God of good providence. We are to trust him. But my friends, we need to take that slogan in mind, and it was true in the Civil War. Trust in God, but keep your gunpowder dry. That was what the chaplains would say. Trust God, but keep your gunpowder dry. In other words, God is completely sovereign, but you are responsible. You are to act wisely. You are to act discreetly. Or as Paul said in Ephesians 5, you are to walk circumspectly, for the days are evil. You must not be foolish or careless Oh, God is my great shield, so I will be reckless and run through every gate. God is my great shield, and I've got a sporty BMW, and I'm going to take this curve at 50 miles an hour. My friends, if you flip, it wasn't God's fault, and it wasn't the BMW's fault either. You see, you are to exercise caution in days where you know danger is ahead. The Lord here affirms human responsibility. The Lord confirms in human wisdom, as He would teach us. Even, I think, would confirm common sense. There is a dignity to man in God's image. And we have, I think, what rightly can be called common sense. Although, you wonder sometimes where it's hidden. But it is a dignity for people to choose wisdom in their life, to order their lives aright, and especially in avoiding danger, whether it be political, whether it be religious and persecution, all of these things, these are examples. So, my friends, there's no need for these disciples to be in harm's way. And Jesus would teach them that the commandment to love your neighbor, it means to love your neighbor as yourself. You are not to abandon self. You are to care for your own flesh. You are to care. You are to eat well and groom yourself and keep hygiene and keep manners and keep a good name and respect in your community. You are to love self. There is nothing Christian about self-deprecation in that sense that you are to loathe self. No, for you are God's creature and God loves you. Only you are to love yourself in a godly love. You are to value life. You are to consider that your life is not your own. And that you are the servant of God. And if He should prolong your days, well, who are you ask why? Or if He is to shorten your days, well, the Lord is sovereign there. But in your days, you are to glorify Him. And you are to mirror all of His goodness. You are not to give up your life altogether too easily. But I'll get to that in application in a minute. Your life is not your own. When one member rejoices, others rejoice. When one member suffers, others suffer. You are connected to family. You are connected to children. You are connected to your neighbors. So what you do has repercussion to your employers, to your educators, to your governors. All of these things ripple across as so many ripples on a pond. Every life has its connectedness. And so you must think of the consequences. You are to especially think of the consequences to the church. Why, if these apostles had abandoned themselves after 3 years of teaching, after 3 years of seminary under Christ, where would we be now? Where would those heralds of the gospel be? They were responsible for God, before God, to keep themselves safe for the safety of so many that would follow them in the church. What do we conclude here? The Lord Jesus would have us to look to our Heavenly Father in all circumstances. In all circumstances of life, we are to be dependent on our Lord, looking to the Father, but especially for His superabundant provision for our lives as we work out for the expansion of His kingdom. That doesn't mean necessarily church work, although it could involve church work, but it means raising up our children. It means being courteous to neighbors. It means being a good, faithful employee, trustworthy, and honest. All of these things are salt and light in our culture, which we very much need very, very badly at this point. And so we work for God, and we are not to have any cares. He would lift the burdens. We are not to worry about our next promotion. We are not to worry about whether we will have enough to eat or whether we are liked if we express ourselves in a godly manner, if we have conviction. Well, if I don't join them at this drinking party, they won't like me. Or if I don't engage in this activity over here, which I know God has decried, things will not go well for me in this school. No, you are to be faithful to God, and the Lord will make his choice of you, and will exalt you, and show His favor to you in due time. Those are all under ordinary circumstances. Nevertheless, we must be wary of the violent opposition which God's enemies sometimes present at the advancement of God's kingdom. In that day, it is a peculiar evil, an intense evil, and we must take note, we must be wise, and we must take extra precaution, be in, extra precaution. Do you know then what it is then to see the Master's joy in all that you do? Do you sense the Lord's blessing and His contentment in you as you work out and you, whatever vocation you have? You could be an executive, you could be an educator, you could be a homeschool mom, whatever you do. Do you sense that the kingdom is prospered by your diligence in what you do? For in all that you do, whether you eat, drink, anything that you do, do it in the name of Christ. The Lord is Lord of all. The angels are your witness. They watch. The Lord knows your hearts. He's pleased. The main thing is that the Lord be pleased in His servants. You see, then, as you have that outlook, the promise of God's help is for you. It is for those who delight in the Lord, who seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all other things are given to you as well, even Christ, and with Him a full inheritance. Or, my friends, if it's not the case, then we must learn to be doing this. This life is not for our own pleasure. This life is not for our own prestige. It is not for us to accrue so many toys or so many friends, have so many Facebook listings and all of that. That's not why we're here. We're here for the glory of God, to enjoy Him, to know Him, to glorify Him, to enjoy Him forever. And my friends, if we are advancing in the Lord's will in all holiness, we will sense this pleasure. But if we are self-absorbed, if we are conceited, if we are all about ourselves and we've made ourselves an enemy of the cross, we do not see the sacrifice, we don't see God first in our lives, and we resemble more the infidel than a disciple. Be careful then, know your motives, and know that God will care for you abundantly if you give Him your all. But otherwise, you're on your own. You're on your own if you're an infidel. Do you understand that the world is in opposition to the kingdom, to the gospel? We can't look upon flesh just as mere flesh. We must see them as Jesus sees them. There is a kingdom of light. There is a kingdom of darkness. And there is no kingdom of grayness. There are those who are begotten of God, who have the Holy Spirit, who go forth in strength, who love the Lord, who are able to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, who are able to exhort and encourage one another. There are those false sons, and what they do, of course, is discourage. They have nothing on their tongues but poison of asps, and their mouth is an open grave. And though they may be in the assembly of the righteous, they prove themselves to be betrayers of Christ, dangerous. The Lord will reveal it in due time. But there are wolves, and when there are wolves, there are teeth. You might expect to be bitten every once in a while, but be careful, I'm saying. Walk circumspectly. Be discerning of spirits. Know that the Lord has placed you here, but this is not these are not the Bahamas. This is not Bermuda. This is war, and we are engaged in a deadly conflict between kingdoms. If you know that, even in the normal days, that this is the case, you are wise unto salvation. And so, my friends, we see that there is this great balance. The Lord certainly is your protector. He cares for you. He has all the hairs of your head, all numbered. Nevertheless, we have depravity on the loose. We have wolves willing to expose their teeth and challenge you and altogether consume you. Do not then tempt God by presumption. Don't be hasty into going into danger. You can sense the danger. There are places where the danger is noted. There are nations where the gospel is especially hated, where to be Christian is to be a target. I can name any number of places in Africa or in Asia that are hot spots for persecution right now. You can read them in their newspapers. To go into those areas without precaution is not courageous, nor is it necessarily a holy thing. I know there's chaplains and other necessary functions to minister to soldiers and things like that. But to walk in there presumptuously and basically have this scripture in mind, go unto all the nations, teaching all peoples, baptizing them, okay? Well, that is the general charter. But there are some nations that have rejected, just like some towns in Israel have rejected the gospel, and the disciples were to shake the dust off their sandals. There are some nations that have so rejected the gospel as to be antichrist, and they will not bear up. And you are in especial danger. Be wise. I'm not saying don't go. You best pray. And best check the counsel of many. Especially check your pride. For many would make themselves a noble trophy of martyrdom and prove in the end that they had no love, but only a vain quest, a prideful quest for notoriety. 1 Corinthians 13:3. Though I give my body to the flames, I have not love. I have gained nothing. Be wise. Be careful. And so keep balance. Keep sovereignty. But exercise wisdom, good sense, and responsibility. An unnecessary martyrdom is not glorious. An unnecessary martyrdom is lamentable. But my friends, Jesus is not of this way. Jesus is not a zealot. He's not a fanatic. He's zealous, yes. He loves the Lord. But he's kept us all in, he's kept all of these teachings in balance. He's going forward because the scriptures, the pilot light of God's word, demands it. These scriptures must be fulfilled. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There is no other way for him but forward into sufferings, into persecutions. In the same way, I think Paul the Apostle was designed for that. The Lord revealed to him that he was his instrument to come before kings. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. That much is clear. The Lord has revealed it. There's his word and it must be fulfilled. But you, my friends, you don't know. There's nothing in the Bible that says expressly in particular about where you will go, what you will do, or whether you will be martyred or not. You must be God's testament, God's witnesses. And to that degree, you will suffer in this world. But my friends, be wise. Do not provoke the Lord. Do not provoke him and tempt him to take care of you when he has not promised necessarily deliverance in peculiar circumstances. See, my friends, Jesus was willing to face the danger. He knew the scriptures. He was wise. And because he was wise, he saved us. He saved us by dying for us on the cross. He was our great substitute. He was the Lamb of God. And not only did he die for sin, but he was raised gloriously for our justification. God was pleased with his sacrifice, his full obedience to his law. And because he was pleased, he greatly honored the Son. All who believe in the Son have life. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For confessing, we are saved. Believing in the heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, that is our salvation. And so we leave this, my friends, to you. We commend you to Christ. Of ourselves, we are not sufficient for even a day-to-day life, much less the day of danger. And though I have left most things unanswered, because I myself am not, as your minister, I am not competent to give you counsel. But I say, look to the Lord. Discern His will. Know that there is an irresponsibility in the day of danger, and know that there is a day of responsibility and of good conduct. I say, trust God in every way. But my friends, keep the gunpowder dry. Take the exit ramp. But by all means, know that the Lord will not suspend the physical laws of the universe. If you tip the center of momentum, the center of moment in that car, you will flip. And that's just the way the Lord governs this world. Take heed then, my friends. Give God great glory, who is our shepherd, who has promised to lead us through every difficulty. He doesn't want us to necessarily figure all of these things out. Trust in the Lord and do rightly. Don't trust in your own counsel, but in all ways affirm Him. He will direct your paths. We were meant, we were made, we were built for trusting the Lord and dependency on the Lord. And in so doing, my friends, we will see joy. We will see the kingdom prosper. We will see ourselves enriched and protected, and our livelihood protected, our children, our families, our neighborhoods. We will receive the blessing of the Lord. Take heed then. Let's pray. God, you are a great teacher. We thank you for the courage displayed in Christ in going forward and knowing the Scriptures and being wise to be the Savior of the world. We pray, Lord, that we would, of ourselves, take note and not esteem ourselves more than we ought. But be careful in the day of temptation and trial. Beware of the dangers. Help us to walk circumspectly. Help us to be wise. Help us to love our lives so much that we give them to you and to our wives, our children, our church, our employers. Help us to live then to enrich so many others. Help us, Lord, not to cheapen our own lives, not to look for danger, to harm ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us in every way triumphantly, and that you will protect your servants. And now, all praise and glory to you, not only for teaching us, but for protecting us. For you are the only King, the wise ruler of all, and in you is all our hope. We praise you through Jesus Christ. Amen.